This 2021 Gopher football season is brought to you by the Goal Line Club at goalineclub.org. If you are a member or have been a member, remember to go to goalineclub.org and renew your membership to save on the tailgates, the events, etc. And also, Ryan, they might actually be able to see us at one of these tailgates.
We will be there on Thursday at the Ohio State one. For those of you wondering, these, I believe the tailgates open 3 hours ahead of time. So, reminder, with these tailgates, if you go, all the unlimited adult drinks, non-adult drinks, and all the Tony's Diner and Insomnia cookies you can eat, Luke.
And welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buer.
And I am GopherIllustrated.com publisher Ryan Burns. And we welcome you guys back to It's Finally Here edition, as we are less than 72 hours out from the season opener, Luke. I feel like it's always the same thing where the offseason feels like it takes forever. But now that we're actually here and September is on Wednesday, it's like, how fast did that go by? But in that same breath, boy, I think there's a lot of people listening to this that are hoping that that 2020 season for your Golden Gopher football team was an aberration.
I mean, at what point did you think to yourself, Kevin Warren might actually cancel this season too?
No, I think Kevin Warren right now has a lot bigger things on his plate, like maybe expanding the Big Ten, but yeah, it's...
That was a cheap shot. Okay, but...
We're here for the Kevin... I mean, Kevin Warren never helps him set up. He's like, he and like Fleck and like Mike Sanford say a lot of words.
Yeah.
But there's not a lot of like substance behind them. So yeah. It's warranted at times with Kevin Warren, but we'll see how he screws up this whole Big Ten Alliance thing. I mean, we'll get into that at a later date. And I actually have another podcast that we can talk about that one on, The Pair and the Spare. But I'm just happy that we have a game to preview, and it's an exciting one, Luke.
All right, so let's look forward to this game where the Gophers host Ohio State. Again, this is our preview episode for Gophers v. Ohio State at the Bank it's on Thursday. It's wild to think that Gopher football is back on Thursday, September 2nd, but here we go. So, Ryan, just to kick this thing off, we have to talk about injuries in the depth chart, and I know how much you love a good depth chart and you love to pore over one. So just tell me, how much have you been poring over this one?
I'm sad to report that I don't think Gopher football is going to be putting out a depth chart this year. I think they may have heard my cries back in the beginning of this podcast where – we would break down the depth chart and I'd be like, this is wrong. I don't know why the hell that guy's there. He's never played there. Yeah. And now they just don't even put out a depth chart because college football coaches are the most paranoid people on the planet, Luke.
In lieu of the fact that there is no depth chart, we should probably just talk very briefly about the fact that, you know, legalized gambling on sports is becoming more and more of a thing. And at what point do universities and whatnot get involved in this and actually get a cut of the profits of this? And then there's actually a rule that says, oh, hi, Minnesota, you have to put out a depth chart and it has to be accurate. Thank you. Bye-bye.
I'm just still laughing about I think the NFL was it like 5 years ago or something.
Yeah.
Like Tony Romo started talking about fantasy football and they're like, no, we don't do that. That's betting. And now today I think the NFL is allowing, I think I saw a tweet this morning from Schefter that said, like, the Colts have partnered with like six different platforms for gambling.
Exactly.
It's just like, you realize that maybe fantasy sports and gambling helps your sport and it helps drive interest. But
you look at like ESPN is starting, they're going to have their own line and like these networks are going to get on it. There's big money to be made there. The networks are going to, I feel like, very likely could force the universities into something and actually putting out depth charts. I don't think it's that unrealistic.
No, and that's, the tweet this morning was the NFL has reached agreements with Fox Bet, BetMGM, Points Bet, Win Bet to become the approved sports books of the 2021 NFL season. It's just like, it's the future. You know, whether you like it or not, it helps drive interest. I think it helps us a lot of things. So in terms of how that relates to Gopher football depth charts, I don't think Fleck's going to pull one out. And I'm sad because I enjoyed looking at them. I'm sad because I enjoyed telling you, I don't know why the hell 70% of it is the way that it is. But yeah. If you want projected depth charts, you can just probably put into your Google machine projected Gopher football depth charts. And mine will pop up. And then you can look at the offense and the defense and get acclimated. I actually will probably put them up on Gopher Illustrated in the carousel today. So if you just want to go to Gopher Illustrated, they'll be there so you can click on them, get to know everybody. But it's sad, Luke, because I miss looking over the depth chart and being like, I'm so glad that they listed this guy as the starting kick returner when he wasn't even back there last game. So in terms of injuries, I mean, we're all just waiting on Ottman Bell. Yep. And Sanford was asked about him today. Sanford knows the line. We're Fleck's the only one that talks about injuries, but I don't know what to tell you 72 hours out. Chris started running last week, but there's a difference between running and cutting.
For sure.
And especially on an ankle. And I still think I'm not over 50% in terms of that Ottman Bell plays. Even if he does play, I think he's going to be more of a decoy. I'm just hoping by the Colorado game, which will be an additional, 17 days after this one, somewhere in that realm, 16 days, that Ottman Bell will be as close to 100% as he will be all season. They won't need him to beat Miami of Ohio. I'm still a little bit skeptical that they'll need him to beat a 4.5 win projected Colorado team. But again, it's in high altitude. So I think the only thing I would also mention is I think wide receiver in general is still a little bit banged up. I've heard, Clay Geary might be dealing with some things. Now Fleck is just refuses to talk about injuries. We ask him about him. So we'll see. We'll see who plays on Thursday. I think the bigger point is, with the injuries at wide receiver, if they don't involve the tight ends and the running backs more in the passing game, I don't know what to tell you at this point.
Yeah. All right. So let's get into the defense. So when Ohio State is on offense, there's no question that Ohio State comes highly regarded in regards to their wide receiver core. This is probably going to be a storyline going into the season with Minnesota, you know, really not having a lot of success returning in the defensive backfield. Obviously, Coney Durr has had some success, but generally speaking, there are a lot of question marks there. So I'm curious to get your perspective of what we might see from this Gopher defense and what we would expect to see from this Ohio State offense.
Well, it's brand new quarterback time. And that's where welcome to the world, CJ Stroud. Boy, I've only pronounced his name like 8 times this morning after doing some KFan. Oh, good for me. But CJ Stroud is the starting quarterback for the Ohio State Buckeyes. He's never thrown a pass in a collegiate game. But Luke, as you know, Ohio State doesn't recruit, they select. Yes. So CJ Stroud is a 5-star quarterback via 24/7, came out of the 2019 class. He is incredibly gifted. He is incredibly talented, but he is incredibly inexperienced as well. So the question kind of becomes, can Minnesota stop the run enough to make it interesting that if CJ Stroud beats you, that's the way I want this game to go. In terms of if that's how you lose is because CJ Stroud, it lives up to the potential in game one and he just dices through the Gopher defense, so be it. But the way I don't want it to go is the way on paper is the biggest mismatch, which is Ohio State last year, Luke, had the number one running offense in the Big Ten. Last year, do you know who had the worst run defense in the Big Ten?
It's be your University of Minnesota Golden Gophers.
So on paper, it is the gigantic mismatch where you're just going to try to hold Ohio State under like 220 rushing yards. And again, if Minnesota is going to win this game, they're going to have to stop the run enough. Stopping the run against Ohio State is a great theory. Because not many people outside of, I think, Northwestern last year and maybe Penn State a couple years ago, outside of the college football playoff teams, have been able to do it. Now, they have your favorite guy, Master Teague, which is one of the greatest names in the Big Ten, if I can say. Now, he's a very talented running back. They have a very talented skill position core, which we'll get to in a second here. But if Minnesota can't stop the run, it's just going to be a very long day. Now, I think they'll be improved against the run. If you listen to the last episode, you know that's why it's a big part of why I thought Minnesota's going to be a pretty good football team this fall, winning 8-9 games. Now, I don't think it's going to be a great representation against probably the best team they'll play all year in Ohio State, which has got one of the most prolific running attacks in college football. But that's where, again, even if they do force Stroud through the air, they have the best wide receiver core, arguably, in my opinion, in college football, between two bona fide first rounders for the next draft and Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave. They've got numerous other five stars behind them, including, if you want to feel old today, I'm pretty sure Marvin Harrison Jr. is now there.
Say what?
I swear to God, I'm going to have to look this up. I think he was a five star that they just got. He's a true freshman.
Seriously? That makes
me... Marvin Harrison's kid is now at... he's a 6'3 freshman at Ohio State that might be getting some minutes. So it's going to be a tall task to try and hold what has been, for I don't know how many years now, the top... whatever way you want to look at it, whether it's run offense, scoring offense, Ohio State puts up 38, 41, 44 points a game. That's just what they do. And if Minnesota's going to have a chance in this game, it's got to be holding Ohio State into the high 20s and the low 30s, which is a very tall task, Luke.
Yeah, definitely. So from a Gopher defense perspective, I'm just curious, do you actually think that we can stop the run? And is this the barometer game or?
No, it shouldn't be a barometer game. Okay. But I also ask you, what do you count as stop the run? Like, if you hold Ohio State under, I think they averaged last year, like something insane.
So
240 yards a game on the ground. If you hold them to the low 200s or something, is that like holding them against the run? Because I don't think it's realistic one bit for Minnesota's run defense to suddenly become the 85 Bears and Ohio State's run offense to start becoming Purdue. Like, is it like holding them to 30 carries for 180 yards? I don't know. I just don't know what the goalposts are for achieving that goal.
Let's maybe just try and take a quick stab at what that goal might be. So from a rushing perspective, I'd say if you hold them under 175 yards, I'd call that success. You?
Say that to me one more time.
If you hold Ohio State under 175 yards rushing, that's success. Sure. Because
I think under 200 yards is success, considering, again, the run defense last year was awful. Everyone listening to this knows that. And if you can hold Ohio State 60 yards under their, run offensive average last year. Now, again, new year, new offense for Ohio State, new defense for Minnesota. I get it. But also, they're really talented. So I think 175, 200 yards is realistic.
Again, we want to thank the Goal Line Club for sponsoring the 2021 season. If you are going to be attending the Ohio State game and you do not have a tailgating option, let me tell you, the Goal Line Club has an option for you. You can go to goalineclub.org and check out their events page. There you can sign up for $75. If you're not a member, you can join the all-inclusive tailgate experience in front of Williams Arena. You'll be a short walk or stumble away from the venue. And Ryan, you and I will be there.
We will be. You and I both go there. I will go there I'll be there every game. For the year, you will be there, I think, at most. I usually gallivant in, grab myself a little bit of a beverage, and then head down to, the right side there. 6'4" guy with a terrible beard and an ugly face. That'll be me standing there and probably a black polo that says Gopher Illustrated on it. But I think the nice part about the tailgate, Luke, is, once again, we talked about it in the opener. Yeah, $75. I mean, it's a little bit of money, but also, if you want it to be less, $50, just sign up for the Goal Line Club. All of your money directly goes to Gopher Football, period. Doesn't go in any other general pot. So if you just want to specifically support the Gopher Football team, that's what a Goal Line Club membership does. Plus, you get discounts to events like this, where, reminder, it is unlimited alcohol, unlimited pop, unlimited whatever you want. Unlimited Tonys, unlimited Insomnia cookies. You can stand inside. You can stand outside if you're more COVID conscious and you just want to be outside. Like, it's going to be 75 degrees. We'll see about the rain. I know we'll get to that later, but it is a fantastic deal. You get to be amongst a bunch of people that are Gopher fans. It's a short walk from the stadium, so you can maximize all of that adult beverage output before you go in for the game. And it's going to be a lot of fun this year, Luke.
So if you aren't good at planning for a tailgate, this is your option. If you want to make some new Gopher friends, join us at the goalineclub.org events and sign up. All right, Ryan, let's transition, talk a little bit about the Gophers' offense when Ohio State is on defense. Obviously, we've talked about this ad nauseum. Mo Ibrahim is going to be the feature of this offense along with the Gophers' offensive line. At the end of the day, the Chris Ottman Bell is a big question mark right now given his injury status. In the passing game, maybe also is a little bit of a question mark. So what are you expecting to see other than a healthy dose of Mo Ibrahim?
That's a great question. It's one that I even posed to Mike Sanford, was what are you going to do here? Because Ohio State, I think a better way to look at it is, let's look at Ohio State's defense. Again, they are a bunch of 4 and 5 stars. They don't have to recruit. They get to select every one of them. It's really tough being an Ohio State Buckeye fan. But their defensive line is incredibly impressive. They have very good defensive tackles. They'll have top 100 defensive ends that are going to be playing in the NFL here very shortly. But where, in theory and on paper, they're exploitable is their linebacking core, because Ohio State last year was a 4-3, even a 4-4 team at times. Well, those top 3 and 4 linebackers are all gone. They all graduated, including 3 all-conference guys. And I'll get into that in one of my keys to the game there, and that's motion and misdirection to try and get those linebackers reading one way and the play goes another. And if you can just get them on that a couple times, they're going to be thinking the whole game, and they're going to be a step slow. And if you can get those guys moving a step slow, you might be able to exploit some things. And that's where I posed the question as well to Mike Sanford. Is, do you want to just hold the ball? Because 12-play, 8-minute drives to keep Ohio State's offense off the field means they can't score. And that's where Sanford was like, well, yes, but also we have to just kind of do our game plan. And we can't just hold the ball to hold the ball, because we also have to be explosive to kind of keep Ohio State on their toes. So their pass defense last year for Ohio State was not good. Their linebackers last year were good. Now they're inexperienced, and their defensive line is probably the strength. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a great first test for a Gopher offensive line that on paper is probably the most talented and experienced one Minnesota's had since, I think, 2006, when it was Esslinger and Setterstrom and all those guys. I mean, you have Paul Lele back. You got Dunlap back. And I did ask Mike Sanford, by the way, Luke. Because he talked about Dunlap and Paul Lele being sure back. And I go, are you going to actually rotate 6 guys into a game like you did in fall camp? And essentially the short answer was, and you can read the whole thing on Gopher Illustrated by the time this podcast goes up, but they're going to play 5. They know what the 5 is going to be, but they'll also still have the 6 offensive line package. Now, I think Curtis Dunlap is going to be the 6th offensive lineman and come in those packages, because I don't think he starts over Olsen or Andries, but I think we'll find out that very soon. So I think it comes down to, do you think Tanner Morgan is going to have a game? And can he have a game if Ottman Bell is limited, if Ottman Bell doesn't play? Are we actually going to see Brevin Spanford and Coe Keefe involved as the tight ends? Are we going to see Trey Potts and Mo Ibrahim used in the passing game? It is a great question, because to beat Ohio State, you can't just score 20 points. You have to score 28. You got to score 31, 34, 38. I mean, field goals aren't going to win this game. So if I see the field goal unit coming on in the red zone for Minnesota, and if you head to my Twitter machine at Ryan Burns MN, you're not going to see a happy camper, because there's, as a 14-point dog, if you're kicking field goals in the red zone, we're playing for everybody's favorite hashtag silver linings.
We have a new sponsor, Ryan, with a new segment this year. We're calling the segment Gopher Math. So just to introduce Gopher Math, this is brought to you by Ayers Rock Planning. If you've ever asked yourself, you know, I'd really like if my tax planner would bring ideas to me on how to save money on my taxes, make sure you visit their website to make the most of your life, your retirement, and your legacy. Again, at ayersrockplanning.com. And this week, Ryan, we introduced Gopher Math. I've been excited about this for some time. I know you have as well. It's a contest. And each week there is going to be a question. You can reply on Twitter with your answer. I know, Ryan, you're the math guy. So how do we do this math?
Well, the thing, we're going to make it easy for everyone. So PEMDAS does not apply, a.k.a. just think about it as simple as possible. Take the first number, apply it to the second function and to the second number, and so on and so forth. So the point of this is, you know, Luke and I, for years on this podcast, have talked about how it's only 100 pennies or $1 to sign up for Gopher Illustrated. Well, for you people who have thought about it and still haven't pulled the trigger, number one, what are you waiting for? Number two, here's your opportunity. Because the first correct answer to each one of these questions each week, whoever tags myself, Gopher Radio, and at Ayers Rock Plans on Twitter wins 2 free months on GI. Now, it's September, so you essentially will get all the way through November if you get one of these first ones right. I mean, I think that's a heck of a deal. You know, we love the people at Ayers Rock Plans that are going to be able to sponsor that for you. So, Luke, what do the people have to do?
All right, so here is your Gopher math question for the week. Gopher passing yards during the last home victory over Ohio State multiplied by Gopher passing TDs during the last home victory over Ohio State minus the year of the last Gopher home victory over Ohio State. Enter your responses on Twitter. Again, tag Gopher Radio, Ryan Burns, and most importantly, Ayers Rock Plans on Twitter. The first one to respond correctly will get 2 months of GI.
Seems like a pretty good deal to me. So we want to thank the people at Ayers Rock Plans for giving us a shot here this season, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun with them. So for someone who's through Calc 4, I'll tell you again, think about this as simplistically as possible. First number times the second number minus the last one. Let's see how quickly somebody can get that 2 free months of Gopher Illustrated, Luke.
All right, Ryan, so we got to get into your keys to the game here. Obviously, this is going to be an uphill battle for the Gophers. We'll get into the game specifics later. But generally speaking, the Gophers aren't going to be a favorite, so they're going to have to play almost a flawless game. They're going to have to take advantage of missed opportunities by Ohio State and protect the ball themselves. So what are your keys to the game for the Gophers to have a chance in this game against Ohio State?
Well, first of all, I'm kind of jealous that for those of you who don't go to the game, you'll get it, number one, on Fox. And number two, you get Gus Johnson. I love Gus Johnson. I hope it's a game so you can hear how excited Gus Johnson will get, hopefully at times. But it is, it's an interesting one, Luke, because, again, the betting line is essentially 2 touchdowns. But I talked about it earlier, and that's where my first key to the game is motion and misdirection for Minnesota's offense. Now, I thought a lot about it, and the ways I'd want to try and attack this Ohio State defense is by exploiting those inexperienced linebackers. I talked about it, where they're going to be replacing the top 4 linebackers from last year, and they had inexperienced guys behind them. They haven't played a lot of Big Ten football before, and I also thought about how I have bad flashbacks to the Gophers' opening game of 2020, where Michigan's offensive game plan worked really well against a team like Minnesota, where, hey, they had inexperienced linebackers last year. When what opened things up so well for them? Motion and misdirection. Get the eyes of the linebackers moving one way when the play goes another. Do that enough early and often, and you're going to have those guys thinking. And if they're thinking, you have a guys a couple steps slow, and that's where you can hopefully have some things to exploit for Minnesota. Because, as I mentioned, Tough Borland, Pete Werner, and Baron Browning, amongst others, 3 all-conference linebackers are gone. Now, we talked about also how Ohio State doesn't have to recruit. They get to select, so they're very talented guys behind them, but they're still inexperienced. None of the guys that are projected starters at linebacker for Ohio State played more than 100 snaps last year on defense. They didn't play a lot because they had a lot of experience in front of them. So with this being the first game of the year, some of them the first start of their career, they're going to be amped and they're going to make mistakes. So if I'm Minnesota offensive coordinator and play caller Mike Sanford, I'm trying to get them second-guessing themselves from the first series on. That means jet sweeps, fake jet sweeps, pulling guards with the run game, with the actual run going. Another play action to suck in the linebackers to hit that void behind them before the safeties, and so on and so forth. So if you can get those linebackers moving a step slow because they're thinking too much, that can allow an offensive lineman like Daniel Faalele, Blaze Andrews to get to the second level on them, or it could allow Coquille for Brevin Spanford to slip behind them for some chunk plays. So if there is an exploitable place on this Ohio State defense, I think it's in the passing game, but I also think it's in the linebacking core. And that kind of leads me into my second point of the game that I talked about earlier, and that's make C.J. Stroud beat you. And now it's easier said than done. I get it. Trust me, I do. Because Minnesota's run defense last year was horrendous. Dead last in the Big Ten, they allowed a whopping 6.3 yards per carry, while Ohio State led the Big Ten with 251 yards a game on the ground rushing to go along with a Big Ten leading 5.5 yards per rush. So I don't think the game plan for Ohio State's offense is going to be too crazy, especially with a quarterback making its first career start. They're going to run the ball. And Master Teague and these Ohio State running backs, in theory, are probably going to have pretty good games. But again, that's why they play it. Now, I'm optimistic that the run defense is going to be improved this year with, you know, Niles Pinckney and Val Martin, the transfer additions they brought in, the rest of the defensive line another year older. You have Jack Gibbons, the FCS transfer they took at linebacker. He's looked the part. But I also can understand that Ohio State is certainly a different animal. So the question becomes, can they stop the running game enough? I'm not asking them to stop the running game because that's not realistic. I mean, it's just not, especially with where they were last year. Mm-hmm. To expect that in game one is not realistic. But if Minnesota can force some second and eights or some third and longs, you know, just passing down situations in general, then we get to see what new starter C.J. Stroud is made out of. And as I've also said, he's a five-star kid. He's incredibly talented. But he's also just never thrown a collegiate pass, and I think it's going to be packed at the bank. It's a national television game. He's on the road. I just don't have enough data to really know what he's going to look like. And if he comes out guns a-blazing and he goes Graham Mertz against Illinois on the bit, good for him. Like, that's the way you're just going to have to try and attack Ohio State this season, I think, is make Stroud beat you. So, again, it's a tough task for defensive coordinator Joe Rossi, but I mean, it's the one you have to make, and that's, you're going to have to put a secondary that's going to be very susceptible. You're going to have to put seven guys in the box, and you're going to have to put one-on-one matchups between you and probably the best wide receiving core in college football. But there's not, I mean, you just have to take, I think, the lesser of two evils. Do you want to be run to death, or do you want to see, hey, Stroud, beat us? And if he does, he does. And then the last point I would make, my last key to the game would be Ohio State can't score if their offense isn't on the field, because their offense is one of the most talented and explosive in college football, has been for years. And there's a reason that they lead the Big Ten in scoring year after year. But, and I asked Stanford about this and I talked about it earlier. I mean, I think they have to figure out the balance, the tightrope that they have to walk, because they need to have some scoring drives where it is 12 plays, 8 minutes, and it has to end in touchdowns and not field goals. Mm-hmm. I cannot state that enough. It just has to, because you don't beat Ohio State with field goals. They are going to score way too many points for you to be kicking a field goal in the red zone. And that these drives need to end in touchdowns, and they need to be efficient, and you need to take the air out of the ball at times, because your defense is going to need a break, and Ohio State's a very explosive offense nonetheless. Now, luckily for Minnesota, they've got a pretty good offensive line. Luckily for Minnesota, they got a fourth-year starter, a quarterback, and the reigning Big Ten running back of the year, Mo Ibrahim. So if I was Mike Sanford, I have to have at least a couple of drives early where, you know, these are long drives that 10 plays, 75 yards and a touchdown. And at the end of the first quarter, it's 10-7. You know, it can't be crazy. You can't get in a shootout with Ohio State. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's the way it goes. I think it's, for a team like Minnesota in this opening game, it's trying to win the game 31-28, something around there. And that involves trying to be efficient in these drives, Luke.
Yeah, I think those are great points. I think the only thing I would add, Ryan, is that, you know, I think your best opportunity to beat a team like Ohio State is keeping it close into the fourth quarter when the pressure's on, right? The pressure's on Ohio State every single game because their expectation is to win a national championship.
Right.
Now with a new quarterback, the most important thing is if you can get him into the fourth quarter with a lot of pressure in tough situations, you know, can you make the best of those opportunities and give yourself a chance at the end of the game, you know, to make one play? Make one play could be all the difference in a close game at the very end. So to me, that seems to be one of the bigger keys as well.
I mean, I think the only thing I'd add to that is they have to win the turnover battle.
Yes.
If you commit multiple turnovers against Ohio State, you're done.
Mm-hmm.
They're too talented. They will take advantage of that. You have to win the turnover battle. I think 3-1, 4-2, something like that,
yeah.
Where you and when you do get these extra opportunities with hopefully advantageous field positions, it has to end in 7, and it cannot end in 3.
Yeah, I think another way to say what you're saying is you have to capitalize on the opportunities given to you. You can't squander them in any way, shape, or form. You know, at the end of the day, maybe you don't have to play a perfect game, but when given the opportunities, you have to capitalize on your opportunities. So, okay, so let's get into some game facts and figures. Ryan, the over-under for this game that I see right now is 64.5, with the Ohio State Buckeyes favored by 14 points at the moment. This game is going to be at 7 p.m. on Fox, as you already noted. It will be at no longer TCF Bank Stadium, but Huntington Bank Stadium. Same address, different game.
Yeah, it looks weird. I don't know. I'll get used to it, I'm sure.
Do you want to know something funny? Multiple places I've looked up games, and it says where it's being played, and it will say TCF Bank Stadium still.
Yeah, like, one day they'll figure it out.
We should maybe take a quick peek at the weather, because the weather does impact football games from time to time. So here's what I have, Ryan. Curious to see what you have. At kickoff, I've got at 7 p.m., I've got 74 degrees with a 5% chance of precipitation with winds about 14 miles an hour. Not too blustery, but you know, there's a little bit of wind there to contend with. Sunset should be about 7:50 p.m., and I'm seeing the possibility of some light rain and precipitation right around 50%, about the 8:30 time range, Ryan. And this could be a factor in going into this game.
I've listened to enough DFS people, Daily Fantasy Sports, for those of you who don't know what that is, and they've looked at the data for NFL games on weather. And the point I'm trying to make here is I think precipitation people overestimate the impact it has in a game.
Sure.
Now, there's a difference between light rain and a driving monsoon. Like, if it's just sprinkling and there's a mist, light rain, I don't think it impacts things really much at all. I think the bigger thing is the wind. Is it going to be 10 to 20 or is it going to be 5 to 15? Or is it going to be 15 to 25? Because a wind out of the south means essentially, I mean, you're going to have a little from the south end zone to the north end zone there on the open end of the stadium. I mean, that ball is going to be humming just a bit there. So I will also say, don't stress out about the weather yet.
No,
just
it's too
look
early.
At like it's as someone who has looked at too many forecasts in their lifetime to try and figure out what tree stand or duck blind or wherever they're going to be going or can I make it to this part of the lake? There, even the day of, it's like a 30% chance it'll be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So my advice to you is don't worry about the weather until Thursday. Look it up before you head to your tailgate. Look it up before you head to the game. See if you need to bring, you know, something you're okay getting wet in. But I think it's going to be beautiful. I mean, we're talking about a 70-degree day somewhere around there. And, yeah, it might not be as sunny as we want, but I'm okay with 70 degrees and overcast and I'm just happy there's going to be a lot of people in the stands again. Luke.
Think about it for the sake of your tailgate, too. This is probably the first time you've tailgated in a while. It's only going to be 77 at 4 p.m. when most people are kicking off their tailgates. It's not going to be too hot. It's not going to be too cold. It's going to be just right. So enjoy that time, whether you're out in the lot or you're joining us at the GLC tailgate in Williams Arena. All right, Ryan.
Yeah, it should be fun, man.
Let's jump into predictions for this game. Again, just a reminder for those keeping track at home, the over-under is 64.5 with a line favored to Ohio State by 14. So, Ryan, why don't you go first?
So just to reiterate, you scroll to the end of the podcast. Keys to this thing actually going out for Minnesota. Okay. Motion and misdirection on offense. Long drives on offense, and they have to result in touchdowns and not field goals. Defensively, stop the run enough to make CJ Stroud beat you. I mean, I'd love to pick a win here, but let's be realistic here. I mean, what percent chance do you think they play this game 100 times? How many times Minnesota coming out on top? 20?
Oh, I was gonna say 10 15? Or 15. 10 or 15, maybe. I think it's pretty low.
Well, I think that's also why they play the games.
I think
back to 2019 where I don't know that many people gave Minnesota a shot against Penn State. They certainly didn't give them a shot against Auburn. But again, that's why they play the games. So if Minnesota wins this game, it's going to be because they won it 31-28 or 30-27 or 34-31. I don't see a world in which Minnesota just barnstorms them and they win by double digits. I don't. But I mean, that's all you want to ask is take this thing into the fourth quarter and see where the chips lie. You're at home. If it's a close game by that point in the fourth quarter, still, you're going to have a very ruckus crowd, one that's very animated. And we're going to see how the freshman CJ Stroud does. Now, I think Minnesota's defense will be improved, but I don't think you'll see the market improvements that I think you'll see by the end of October. So I think this is somewhere around Ohio State 38, like Minnesota 24, 27, somewhere in there. So in that instance, I guess I'm the under, and I guess I would take Minnesota with the points, depending on what kind of line you can get. But I think this Ohio State offense is still going to be able to move the ball. I still have questions about Minnesota's passing game. If Ottman Bell does play, and if he does not play, I certainly have more. But I'm thinking I'm around that 38-24 mark. Luke, where are you at?
So I look at this over-under in 64. You know, Ohio State traditionally comes out strong. And I kind of assume that I want to pick the over, right? But the challenge
that's a tall order. I mean, 64 and a half is a lot of points.
I know. Man. And that's the struggle. Like 64 is a lot. And so I want to, but at the same time, like, you know, this is a Big Ten game to start the season. So, you know, I'm hoping that the Gophers can keep it under 64. So I think for me, again, just my key is if the Gophers are going to win, they just have to keep it close and give themselves a chance at the end to just make a play. So I am going to pick Ohio State. I just don't see a situation, I just don't really see a situation where this rolls the Gophers away. I hope I'm wrong. It can.
Like 15-20% of the time it can. It's just the way that it would have to go, and we've laid it out, is it's just not the likely scenario in this aspect. Now, I'd love to be wrong, and I'd love for – I mean, I think the best thing that could happen is at 7:04 – you look at my Twitter, Luke, and I say, hey, I'm laughing because I don't think it's going to happen, but like Cam Wiley kickoff return touchdown. Can you imagine?
Well, here's a better question. Do you think that this game will start off with a safety?
What is this, Nebraska and Illinois?
I thought that was hilarious. Okay, my bad.
It's peak Big Ten football if it does, I'll tell you that.
So I will take Ohio State. I will take them. I will take them 35 to 24. So ultimately,
I mean, it could be, I mean, if you want to take the over, you'd be looking at something like 42-24.
I took the over.
I just don't see a world where Minnesota wins this game and it's also the over.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be like 34-31, something like that, but yeah, that's kind of where we're at. So, I mean, hopefully next time people hear this, Luke, we're talking to Derek Burns on the podcast too. They get to hear his beautiful voice.
Yeah, it'll be fun to break this down regardless, because we'll actually have some game film, an opportunity to see this team and have some data to support some of the assumptions that we've had and we've been previewing all season, and we can kind of go from there. Again, we want to thank everyone for listening. We're very thankful for our partners in the Goal Line Club. Again, join us at the tailgate. And also Ayers Rock Planning. We're excited to have them on. Again, you can check the show notes for the Gopher Math question written out in more detail. And best of luck to those who are participating. Again, thanks for listening, and go Gophers.